الله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الأطهار، لا سيما إمام الحجد المهدي أجل الله فرجه الشريف. Dear viewers, dear respected brothers and sisters in faith and tashayyu in the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, thank you for joining us for an episode of Treasures from Usul al-Kafi. In this series, we'll be looking at the words of the Imams as they're reported by our respected and great scholars of the past in various texts, and beginning with al-Kafi by Thiqat al-Islam, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Kulayni. Well, what makes al-Kafi a particularly significant work is first that it was compiled during the Lesser Occultation, when the Shia, we still had access to the Imam through his representatives. So, as far as our texts go, it's a fairly early one. Additionally, al-Kafi is part of the four books. Now, the four books are something, if you research deeply into where most of our fiqh and other things are derived from, you'll find that they come through four primary texts that were recorded by a number of different sheikhs, three in particular known as the three Muhammads. One of these was Sheikh al-Kulayni, the other two were Sheikh al-Saduq and Sheikh al-Tusi. May God have mercy on all of them. The importance of these books can't be understated, but most of them are used primarily for fiqh. What makes al-Kafi particularly unique is that this text also includes three volumes out of the eight that don't deal specifically with fiqh and instead deal with the subject of doctrine and theology and belief. The first two volumes of al-Kafi are known as Usul al-Kafi. Now, within these texts, we find various things related to doctrine and dogma of the Shia faith, and they are particularly invaluable because we find that when we follow, for instance, a marja taqlid, that we follow them in areas of fiqh and not in areas of doctrine. That in areas of doctrine, in Usul al-Din, which is the primary concern of Usul al-Kafi, that these are beliefs that we must come to through our own investigation and knowledge, and that they are not something that we can imitate or follow someone in. What makes al-Kafi more unique, additionally, is that it begins with a chapter dealing with aql, and that will be the subject of today's brief lecture, inshallah. Aql can be defined in a number of different ways, and its definition, in fact, is something that scholars have struggled with and pondered over for hundreds of years. Initially, we find in earlier narrations that aql is something that we could translate into English roughly as meaning intuition or the sense of discernment that we have in terms of meditating upon and acting on the narrations of the Imams. Peace be upon them all. Later in time, aql came to acquire other meanings as well, in particular intellect, and this is often how it's translated as intellect or reason. However, to some extent, although we find in some narrations this is a correct translation, in other cases we need to go with the earlier definition, and we see that the later reading of this word comes from when Islam was having many texts translated from Greek, philosophy in particular, and the idea of aql as a rational faculty or intellect becomes imported into the religion. And as well, the fact that the Imams at that time were busy debating a developing rationalist school of theology. However, the important thing to know is that aql is a special and beloved creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. According to a tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, when Allah created the aql, He said to it, by my might and my glory, I have created nothing more beloved to me than you, and that I shall not give a full measure of you except to those whom I love, that it's you on whose basis I command and prohibit, and you on whose basis I punish and give reward. To understand the meaning of this, we need to think about the two key aspects of this narration that the Imam outlined, which are reward and punishment and obedience and disobedience. The aql is not given in even shares to everyone, and is not given in a complete share to almost anyone at all, with the, perhaps the obvious exception of the Imams, prophets, and messengers. The aql, in a sense, is the way that we make a distinction between things such as right and wrong, good or evil, but on its own is insufficient to provide detail. And this is where we come to a longer but more specific narration, also from Imam as-Sadiq alayhi salam. In this narration, Imam as-Sadiq outlines the finer distinction between aql, which we could define again as discernment or intuition, or as reason or intellect, and the subject of ilm, which is related. However, in the past, the two words used to be used fairly interchangeably. Ilm, in this case, we'll say means knowledge, which is the simplest definition of the word in English. The Imam says that it's through aql that humanity knows their creator and realizes that they are created, and that he is the one who arranges their affairs and that they are directed by him, that he is eternal and that they are temporary. With the aid of aql, they are able to discern by observing his creation that they themselves have a creator and an authority set over them, a creator without beginning and without end. Through aql, they are able to recognize good and evil and to associate jahl with darkness and aql with light. A companion of the Imams asked him, is this aql? Is it sufficient for humanity to the exclusion of all else? The Imam answers this very beautifully. He, alayhi salam, says, he who is possessed of aql knows by aid of his aql that God is the truth and that he is his Lord. And he also knows that his creator both loves and hates, and that we are either able to obey or disobey him. However, at the same time, he perceives that aql on its own is not enough to inform him of what constitutes obedience or disobedience, or what he loves or dislikes. And he realizes, through aid of his aql, that he will only be able to obtain this knowledge through ilm. Thus, whoever possesses aql is compelled to seek ilm, which we will get to shortly in coming episodes. However, we may say that, at the very least, without aql, we would be unable to act on ilm that we receive. And in fact, that we need the ilm, the knowledge that's delivered to us by messengers and prophets of God, in order to direct our aql in the correct direction. In other words, we may say that ilm, knowledge, is the fuel for aql, for our intuition, for our reason, for our intellect. Now, I mentioned that our aqls at this time are incomplete, but the last note that I'd like to leave you with is that there will come a time, of course, when our aqls will become completed, as per a narration for Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, also found in Usul al-Kafi. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says that when al-Mahdi rises, God shall place his hand on the heads of his creation, of his servants, and that he shall compose their aqls, thereby perfecting their understanding. Of course, we don't accept that God literally has a hand. We find repeatedly that God is nothing like his creation, and we seek refuge from attributing anything like this to him. However, our scholars and the Imams say that by his hand, we're talking about God's power. In other words, that God will use his power upon the reappearance of our awaited Savior, Imam al-Hujjah, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, to complete our aqls and thus receive complete guidance. Thank you for joining us for this episode. Inshallah, you will join us for another as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.